And I'm just amazed at all that he can do with us. Not needing us, but using us for his glory. And I'm just so thankful for people that can come our way and we can do what we can to help them and to provide. And I just want to give a shout out to two of our missionaries. I'm going to call them missionaries. Missionaries, Edward and Marquita Martin. They've been incredible. I'm not going to say a whole lot about what you've been doing because I know the Lord still, but God is using them in a great way. Let's give them a hand. Amen. That's all I'm going to say about the matter. Amen. I would like to also let you know that we need your prayers for Sandra Thomas. She lost her husband, Charles. Charles was a member of our church, and we ask that you pray for him and pray for the family. They're not receiving guests because Charles passed out of town. But they do ask that you pray for them. So they're not receiving visitations at this time, but keep them in your prayers. And as well as other families that are going through struggles and times of need, and we ask that you pray for them. A lot of people are going through tough times at Christmas, especially at Christmas time. So remember people. As that song says, let us all begin to heal. How many of y'all need healing? How many of you need strength? Yeah, this is Christmas. Amen. Amen. That's a sermon. I could preach that one day. But I want to invite your attention to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21 through 23. I wasn't intending to preach this message, but it just kind of fell in my lap and began to flood my mind with some thoughts as to what really it's all about, what Christmas is really all about. And Matthew's Gospel, we find these words written. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. God with us. You may be seated. I want to bring with you just a brief message today. The name says it all. The name says it all. As a matter of fact, Jesus was so wonderful that God sent him with another name and called him Emmanuel. Call him Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. What a wonderful name. What a wonderful meaning to you and I as we think about God with us. Some of you have been through some incredible things this year. You've been through some storms and ups and downs. Face some trials and look like we still got COVID hanging around. But through it all, God has been with us. And you would ask the question, well, why? Why would he spend so much time with us? Why would God want to be with us all the time, Emmanuel? You know, I know some of y'all say, I need my space. You better not tell God that. He might not like it. And you might not like the outcome. But the point is, we need him. We desperately need him. These verses that I've just quoted to you are not based on the fact that we were comfortable, that we were well off. It points to the fact that we were a desperate people. We needed God. And as I bring out the message today, I want to just share with you the fact that God gave him a name that fit what he was going to do. God had been wanting to do it from the beginning of time. As a matter of fact, this whole plan was not just thought up at the last minute. It wasn't just a spur of the moment thing that God said, I'm going to do this. He had planned this before the creation of the world. That he would send forth his son, the very word of God, into this world. And for that, we can give God thanks and praise today. And that really is what Christmas is all about. Yeah, we can buy the gifts. We can send the greetings. We can sing the songs. We can go and visit others. But if we miss the main point, we've lost all the meaning of what Jesus came into this world to do. So let's talk about this thing of a name. What's in a name? I can tell you, every one of us in this room has got one. You may not like it. As a matter of fact, when I was born, my mom was going to call me Jerome. And then now let me ask you a question. Do I look like a Jerome? And thank God for my daddy. Dad, his name was James, and my grandfather was William. And so Dad said, name him William James. And that made me feel real important. But what's in a name? First of all, it's our identity. People know you and they distinguish you from someone else. That's why you were given that name. As a matter of fact, your God is the one that came up with names. He's named every planet in all of the universe. Every one of them has a name. And as I shared with you earlier, there are billions of angels, and every one of those angels have names. Did you know that there are angels assigned to you? Yeah, there are angels that are there. You can't see them, and it's not about seeing them, but it's about knowing that God loves you so much that he wants to have you under his cover. Now, you already know there are demons out there, right? Yeah, oh yeah, you got plenty of them, and you know. And we run into them in society. It's part of our world. So it gives identity, but not only that, it gives functionality. You have function when you think about a name. Well, you know, and a note that I made, you know, if you were going to make a cake or you wanted to get a cake from somewhere, you wouldn't go to the butcher. You'd go to the baker because they're the one that makes cakes. That's the functionality. Some of you have names that are based on a certain occupation or function in life. So names are given for specific reasons, but then it's also to show a relationship. You have a first and you have a last name. In some other cultures, it's reverse. But it's always to associate you with a family. Here's the point. Nobody can live in this world by themselves. Everybody, as Dean Martin sung in a song, everybody needs somebody sometime. We all need each other in this world. As the poet says, no man is an island. No man stands alone. Each man's joy is joy to me, and each man's peace or each his hope is my own. You got to share in this world. But then lastly, we think about the name, and it has to do with a mission. What is the mission? We've been given missions, and some names may signify that, and certainly during the time of Christ, there were other names and other people named Jesus. And even today, in Latin cultures, the name Jesus, which means Jesus, means the same thing. But theirs is not a mission. Theirs is a name that recognizes what God was doing. But God said, I want to send my son into the world on a mission. What's his mission? His mission is to save people from their sin. Whenever God wants to do something in your life or my life, he generally associates it with something that you can relate to, and he calls it a name. I'll give an example. Abram and Sarai. Two names which meant pretty good. They were going to be the father of many, Abram. And Sarai, she was going to be a fruitful princess. That's a pretty good name, right? Sarai. But God says, no, I got a plan. I've got something that I want to do, and so I'm going to rename you. I'm going to call Abraham. I'm going to call Abram Abraham, father of many nations. And Sarai, what I'm going to call her, is the mother of nations, and kings of people shall be in her. According to Genesis chapter 17 and verse 15, God wanted to rename them. And I can tell you, when he wants to do something in your life and in my life, he doesn't really say, I'm going to change your whole name, but he changes your last name. What do you mean by that, preacher? He changes and adds the term saved. Grace be upon it. God's salvation be given to it. All of those that are in Christ, the Bible even says, you become a new creature. And you got to fit the name. And when God writes your name down in glory, when he writes your name in that Lamb's book of life, a book of names, he calls you saved because you belong to him. Isn't that good? Give the Lord a hand clap for that. Yeah, I think that's pretty good. So when you think about a name, you got to know what it means. You know, don't go around through life saying, I hate my name. Make the best of it. You know, when Benjamin was born, his mother named him Benoni, which means son of my sorrow. Can you imagine that? Benoni, here come my sorrow. And Jacob said, I'm not going to let that boy live with that name. It'd never be any good. I'm going to change his name to Benjamin, son of my strength. God changes us. He calls us by a name that then we can go out and live a life that means something. Ladies and gentlemen, when you call the name of Jesus, what does that name mean and what does it signify? Here's the angel not announcing it to Mary, but to Joseph. What was Joseph going through? He was having some issues with this fact. Okay, all right, let me get this straight. Mary is pregnant, not by me. And I need to find out what I'm going to do. He was espoused to her, which meant they hadn't had the official ceremonial aspect of their being married, but they were espoused or promised in marriage. We might call it today in our culture engaged. He's saying to himself, well, I know I, you know, he wanted to sing that Michael Jackson song, you know. Billie Jean, you ain't been saved all your life. You, come on now. But the Bible said that while he thought on these things, he slept. And during the night, the angel Gabriel appeared to him and said, Joseph, don't be afraid to take unto you Mary, your espoused wife, being great with child, because that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. This is God's doing. And he said, now, what I want you to do to let you know that I'm in this, that I'm involved in what you're going through, I want to let you know that you'll call his name Jesus. Because he's got a mission. He's going to save the people from their sin. They're going to call him Jesus. So that's what I want you to name him. When you go to the temple and then you give him to the Lord. And when on the eighth day a Jewish child was required to be circumcised, that they were a male, but a female was to be presented and given a name. There are no nameless people in this world, which means God loves every one of us and he knows your name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But this child had a special name. You say, well, preacher, what does that got to do with me? A lot of us go to sleep at night with problems. And a lot of us, it seems that problem seems to just boil over in our mind, rehash itself. And while we're thinking on these things, sometimes we ought to be praying rather than worrying. And what I'm here to tell you, if you could just whisper the name of Jesus, you've already begun to solve that problem. Because when you give it to God, he knows what to do. He knows what you're going through, because remember, he was one of us. He knows how to work through the issues. He knows how to guide you, because he's God Almighty. Amen. Remember, he's got a dual name now. It's not just Jesus, but it's also Emmanuel. What you go through, he goes through. Where you have to face in life, he also faces. In other words, can I tell you like my grandma said, he knows what you're going through. And all you got to do is keep your hand in God's hand. So he said, call him Jesus. Call him Jesus. The Jewish people, the Jewish nation had waited for Messiah for thousands of years. They knew he was coming from the line of David. They knew he was coming to be a savior of the world. They knew he was coming to be a king. They just didn't know when. Just didn't know when. In your own life, you don't know when God's going to give you a breakthrough. You don't know how he's going to work it out. But all you know is if I turn it over to the Lord, he will work it out. I want you to think about this, because as you celebrate Christmas, your problems are not taking a vacation. Yeah. You're trying to celebrate and you're trying to say, I'm just going to forget about it. But every now and then in the middle of the night, they end up knocking on your phone. Amen. That's right. Lighting you up. Say, hey, you remember me? I'm your problem. And what you ought to say, yeah, you might be my problem, but I got a savior. I got somebody that can bring me out of darkness into his marvelous light. God wants us to understand who this name, or what this name is all about. It's about deliverance. It's about hope. It's about light. It's about peace of mind. Where even though you do have the issue in your life, you can lay down and go to sleep. You can say, I'll wake up in the morning, do what I need to do, and try to take care of that. But for tonight, I'm going to give me some sleep, because God is awake. So I'm going to get me some sleep and not worry about it. Yeah, that's the name of Jesus. I want us to embrace that today. But then the angel also brought out the prophecy that was in Isaiah. He said, a virgin shall conceive. So this wasn't just some thought out plan. This wasn't just some abstract plan. This was an absolute plan from the beginning. 800 years earlier, God had tapped one of his servants on the shoulder and said, Isaiah, let me tell you what I'm getting ready to do. As the old folks said, let me tell you what I'm fixing to do. A virgin is going to conceive. Why? Because if this child is born, he cannot have a sin nature. He must have flesh. And therefore, it's the fulfillment of Genesis, where it said the seed of the woman. You never heard of a woman having seed except one. And that was Mary. So he, as the people would teach us, was the immaculate conception. In other words, man didn't have a thing to do with it. God did it all. People come up with these fancy terms, but I like to be real country. God did it all. And when I tell you, sometimes in your life, with your human efforts, you're trying to fix stuff. You know, I got a toolbox at the house. And my wife, every time she hears it open up, she cringes. Oh Lord, help him, Jesus. What is he gonna do now? And I go to my toolbox. Oh, it's on now. And Miss Cabla, I get into the middle of the job and I figure out I need somebody to help me. And I'm too cheap to call the plumber. So I called the Lord and said, Lord, can you help me? And I'm here to tell you, he'll make a way out of no way. But in that prophecy, Isaiah was saying, we're going to give him a name. 800 years before the birth of Christ, he was given the name Emmanuel. While there are a lot of people that go by that name, only one had it as a mission. And that was to be God with us. And why? Why did Gabriel bring up these two names at the same time? And why are we talking about Jesus and Emmanuel at the same time today. It would seem that one would be sufficient, and that is true. But God just wanted to show us the abundance of his grace and the power of his mercy. So he said, not only will he deliver you, but he's going to be with you. What a promise. What a promise. You know, when my wife and I stood before an altar, well, no, it was her mama's house in front of that old Vic, no, it was a record player. Yeah, the record player. You know, one that big, in that big cabinet about like this pulpit. Yeah, one. Yeah, you store the albums on one side, play the records in the middle, and then you had something else on the other side for your junk. And we stood there and we made vows, and I told her I'll always be with you, but there were circumstances that I couldn't always be with her. I was in the military. I was in assignment. Couldn't always be. I was still her husband. But I couldn't always physically be present with her. Man is limited, but God is unlimited. Man can be with you as much as he can. But either you're separated by distance or by death. That happens. But not so with God. When he comes into your life and into my life, he is with you forever and ever. And throughout all the ages of eternity, you will never be alone. Because you got God. How cool is that? Young people, is that right? Say cool. Is it okay to say cool? All right, so that's pretty cool. I think that's pretty good. Even when I'm bad. You know, some folks don't want to be around you when you acting out. Right? God doesn't leave you in those crazy moments. Yeah, I know you think to yourself, well, I'm just going to steal away and I'm going to do some stuff and I don't want the Lord to see me. You might as well stop doing it because he sees you. Amen. I don't want nobody being my business. He's already in your business because you needed him. He comes to show us a better way. So how do we make application with this? How do we apply this as we prepare to close the message? What is it that we can do with these names? Because we said the names are given for a certain function. How does it function in our life? Scripture is giving us some evidence here. First of all, honor the name. Don't play with it. The name of Jesus is not a toy. It's not something you say when you get frustrated. Jesus. Excuse me, Lord, I'm just saying what they say. I ain't saying like they say. What if somebody said to your name, William? Man, I'd be so frustrated and mad at you. The Bible tells us in Exodus 20, one of the commandments, matter of fact, it's the first one. Do not take the name of the Lord in vain. Now, was he saying that with an arrow getting ready to zap you? It's not about that. The fact is, you need him. Why mess with, why fiddle with something that is going to ultimately help you? Why degrade? Why diminish? Why bring down something that has been given to you as a precious gift? You don't throw away diamonds. If you had some gold, and a lot of y'all, if you had a gold wedding, number one, you wouldn't be in service today. But if you had some gold weddings, man, I ain't letting nobody. I'm going to treasure this. You will not find anything in all of the universe more precious than the name of Jesus. He's the one that wakes you up in the morning. He's the one that calms your nerves when you feel like your world is falling down. He's the one that guides you when you don't even have a clue as to where you're going. How many of y'all been here? How many of y'all had this much money but this many bills? And you didn't know how it was going to work it out. But some way, somehow, God worked it out. Let me go a little bit further. How many of you all have been on a sick bed or you've been in a condition where the doctor just shook his head and said, I don't know what to do from here? They had done all they could, but when you called on the name of Jesus, God made a way out of no way. I'm talking about Jesus, ladies and gentlemen. You don't play with that name. Now, you can pray to him. You can sing to him. You can witness about him. You can tell somebody else, but just don't play with it. Why? Because you're going to need him. He doesn't need you. You need him. And every time I turn around, I don't know whether it's age or I don't know what it is, but I'm always needing him to make a way for me. That's because he's good. His mercy is everlasting. So assignment one during Christmas time, honor his name. And when you hear other folk bringing down their name, they say, shh, wait a minute. You know how the old folks, you say, shh, shh, shh. They don't even say, shut your mouth. They say, shh, shh, shh. In the old church, they just turn around and look at you. You knew what that meant. You gonna get it when you get out of here. Encourage other people to honor his name. Secondly, we got to apply it. We got to apply Jesus' name as a way of life. It didn't say he shall save his people in their sin. You know, I met a friend of mine out in Oklahoma many years ago, and he was one of what we call a liberalist or whatever you call the person, and they believe that since Jesus paid for our sin, you ain't got to worry about stopping. Yeah. I'm pretty good at math, but I couldn't get that one to add up. It says he came to save us from our sin. I don't know about you, but sin wore me out. Took all my money. People, let me give you an example. I know I'm going to finish preaching in a minute. I'm going to finish preaching, but I got to talk a little bit. People worry about, well, you mean we got a tie to the church? I used to do more than that in the world. Do you know how much a bottle of liquor costs you these days? Not to say that I know, but. Come on, y'all, look at somebody, tell them, be real. So when I came to church and all God wanted was 10%, I said, man, I'm getting a deal here. I'm blessed. Don't have to sin, have to spend what I used to spend. And that's the whole point. He took me out of that way of life. Because not only was it costing me, it was killing me. Again, what my grandma used to say, gone. You know, we, in the age I grew up, I'm going to say it. I know we got young people, so I'm going to be nice about it. People think you can lay up and hang out with anybody and everybody. My mama had a saying, you lay down with dogs, you might get up with fleas. Anybody in the, you didn't know I was going to preach on Christmas Eve, did you? You didn't know I was going to let this thing on. Yes. So when you get saved from your sin, God brings you out of darkness. Now you go about living your life trying to make good decisions, important decisions, not sinful ones, not to see how far can I push the limit. No, you said, wait a minute, God has some guidelines and they're for my good. You know, you have guardrails on the road for a reason. They're not just there for decoration. They're not just there, you know, to say, oh, that's a nice guardrail. No, there's no such thing as a nice guardrail. That guardrail keeps you from driving off the road. And when Jesus saves you from your sin, he keeps you in a certain way of life so that you can live the good life. Can y'all do something for me? I've been in physical therapy this week, and they told me that I need to square my shoulders. But you know, you need to square your shoulders and say, God, save me to walk straight. God, save me to live a good life. And I'm going to square my shoulder, hold my head up, because I am somebody. I got a good name, and the Lord loves me. Lastly, not only should you honor his name and apply his name to the way that you live, but lastly, tell others about it. Amen. Tell others that his name shall be called Emmanuel. Many of you, people have spoken to you and they have said these words. They didn't realize it. You ain't gonna never be any good. Don't raise your hand if someone has said that to you. But today I come to reverse that curse. I come today to reverse that. I come to prophesy over your life today. God made you for a reason. You are a blessing, and you're going to bless somebody else. Do you not know that when the name of Emmanuel and the name of Jesus was deposited in your life, whatever you were before, now you became born again, but you also became a powerful blessing. So when people try to put you down, you say, wait a minute, you don't talk to me like that. I got Jesus. You don't say that to me. I got Jesus in my life, and he's more than enough. He supplies all my needs. He watches over me and protects me day and night. Oh, yeah, come here, Isaiah, and you shall call his name Wonderful, Counselor, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. They shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. Do you love the Lord today? I love him because I know what he's done. The years that I've walked with him, didn't even know how to walk with him, but he kept me anyway. You've heard the story about the two men who were traveling. And one was saying, well, where were you when I needed you? And they saw only one set of footprints in the sand. And the Lord said, that was me carrying you through your problem. That's God. That's what Jesus can do for you. And I can tell you, there's nothing like the name of Jesus. Whenever you're down and whenever you're in need, he always speaks to us and lets us know that he can make a way out of no way. And here's the good news. God is not finished with you yet. If you got blood still running warm in your body, you still know that his name is precious. How many of you know there's something about the name of Jesus? The name says it all. Every need that you might have, there's something about that name. Come on, Ronnie. Come on, Bernard. We might not get this right, but we're going to sing it from our heart anyway. Yeah. There's something about the name. Anybody know the name of Jesus? How'd he start it off? Come on in. Just gonna sing a little bit. Shoot. Give me sand. Something about the name Jesus. Something about the name Jesus. It is the sweetest name I know. Oh, how I love the name Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Oh, how I love the name Jesus. It is the sweetest name I know. Listen. Some people say I'm crazy, but
sir.
Yeah. Listen. The power that I feel, yeah, Lord.
When I call your name.
When I call your name. Said it's just like fire. Shut up in my bones.
Oh, yes, sir.
Yeah, the Holy Ghost yes, gets to moving. And it just won't leave me alone. Yeah. Oh, there's something about it. Something about the name Jesus. There's something about the name Jesus. It is the sweetest name I know. And I don't know about you, but I love the name.
Oh, how I love the name of Jesus.
How I love it. Oh, how I love the name Jesus. It is the sweetest name I know. Said it's just like fire.
Just like fire.
Shut up in my bones.
Oh, yes, sir.
Oh, the Holy Ghost gets to moving. And it won't leave me alone. Here's a part of life. At the name of Jesus. Every knee has got to bow.
Yes, sir.
So don't wait till the fire falls. Go on and praise him.
Yes, sir.
Do it now.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, there's something about it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Something about the name Jesus. There's something about the name Jesus. It is the sweetest name. Sweetest name. I know. And I love the name.
Oh, how I love the name.
Love the name of Jesus. Oh, how I love the name Jesus. It is the sweetest name I know. Something about the name Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
It is the sweetest thing I know. And I love the name.
Oh, I love the name Jesus. Oh, I love the name Jesus.
It is the sweetest name I know. Give him praise, give him praise, give him praise. I don't want to go to my seat without giving somebody an invitation. If you don't know him, you're missing the greatest friend that you'll ever have in a lifetime. So if there's someone today, your soul is thirsty, saying, I need a Savior, call on his name. If you're online and you're listening, call on his name. He'll hear your prayer. And he'll receive you as his child. Let's pray. Father, thank you for sending that name. Thank you for sending us a helper, a comforter, a friend, love, forgiveness, peace, joy, strength. Thank you for sending Jesus. And Lord, there's something about his name that, oh, we try to sing about it, but singing is not enough. We got to give ourselves to him. And I pray that for someone today, that you'd help them to find the Christ your Lord and our Savior Jesus. I pray in his name. Amen. I want to give the invitation very quickly. If there'll be one, we know we've got other things that are happening today, but I want to give you the opportunity. Online, you can't come in here, but you can write to us, pastor@crossroadbc.com, and we'll try to get back with you. Or you can hit us up on Facebook, and we'll try to get back to you. But there's something about this name that you need in your life. Invitation is given. In here, if you're here, I ask you to come. I'm going to ask our officers if they would come at this time. I'm going to get ready for our communion as well. Most of you were given communion as you came in today, as you entered the sanctuary. If you did not receive one, raise your hand and we'll try to get one to you. Bernard, thank you. Ronnie, thank you. Lee, thank you. That came from the Holy Spirit. I hit him at the last minute. I told him we got to sing. And I'm telling you, God is good. Garland, thank you. There's something about that name. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, it sounds like a harsh statement, doesn't it? But even Jesus went through problems. The Bible said that he took the bread. In your container, you got a little wafer, and it represents his body. It was broken for us. You've also got a cup that contains some grape juice. This represents what Christ did for us, what Jesus, Emmanuel, did for us. And we thank him for it. Has everyone been served? One of the first things that we do is to not take what he did lightly. So we're going to pray over it and thank God for his mercy. Lord God, we just thank you for the sacrifice that you made for us because you loved us. Thank you for giving your body, which is represented by this wafer. Thank you for giving your blood, which is represented by this cup. Let us receive it with a grateful heart, a heart of thanksgiving. And yes, even at Christmas, because that's why you came. We just thank you for it. Bless it now. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. Let's take the cup and take the bread, rather, and let us eat together. Let us take the cup. Let us drink together.
Now Jesus said,
this you've done in remembrance of me. Amen.
Born into sin, I may live again. Precious Lamb of God.
Sing.
Now behold the Lamb.
For those of you that are seated in the pews, you can leave your communion cups in the trays or in the area of your pews, and the ushers will pick those up after service.